Hello, this is Dee, reading the Vermilion County News for January 18th. We'll begin our reading with the front page article entitled Live Streamed, MLK Celebration Goes Online This Year. Jennifer Bailey, Danville. It's going to be a different Martin Luther King Jr. celebration in the city this year. However, MLK committee member Reverend Randy Robinson and pastor at St. James United Methodist Church in Danville is looking to reach a lot more people. The City of Danville MLK committee will host only one event for the 2021 MLK celebration. The Joy Comes in the Morning community-wide service will be at 11:30 a.m. today at St. James United Methodist Church. The service will include a welcome from Robinson, the presentation of a $4,000 MLK scholarship to a graduating Danville senior who plans to pursue an education at an institution of higher learning, as well as the recitation of his or her winning essay, words of encouragement from Mayor Ricky Williams Jr., stirring vocal solos from two soloists, an inspirational message from Speaker, the Most Reverend Frank J. Beard, Bishop, Illinois area of the United Methodist Church, Springfield. Unfortunately, due to COVID-19, the service is not open to the public. However, it will be live streamed with two viewing options. On the St. James website, https://protect-us.mimecast.com/t/tjyo6vp/eux-n2l-i6h5qy. Live via the St. James Facebook page, https://www.facebook.com/St. James Danville Human Relations Administrator Sandra Finch said the committee made these arrangements, which included canceling the annual banquet and March motorcade due to coronavirus restrictions. There will be a limited number of people allowed in person at the church during the service. As of last count, there will be about 16 people in person at the church. "We've been worshiping in a particularly empty sanctuary since last March," Robinson said. They've found with St. James's online worship services to its congregation, "We're reaching far more people online than we ever did in person," Robinson said. He said they hope to do the same for the MLK celebration. Instead of having around 300 to 400 people in person for a typical MLK celebration, he hopes to have 1,000 or more people join them online. "It will be easy to access if you have a computer," Robinson said, "or people can watch on their tablets or phones. So we're hoping that people will be willing to make the adjustment to participate, even though it's different," Robinson said. He said the whole community is invited to participate. He said they will project the words of the hymns and scripture lessons so those at home will feel like they are part of the service. St. James has two people in charge of the live video recordings, one on sound control and the other on the video camera, who coordinate with each other. "It comes out rather seamlessly," Robinson said, adding that glitches can always happen. They're trying to work out as many bugs as they can beforehand. The service begins with the Black National Anthem, "Lift Every Voice and Sing," and closes with "We Shall Overcome." By continuing that tradition, there will be some continuity in the annual service. Robinson said, "We just want to invite everyone in Danville and the surrounding area. We hope they'll tune in on Monday." Finch added, "We're looking forward to having everything back in place next year." Our next article is entitled Road Classifications for Carl Project Okayed by Jennifer Bailey. In order to close part of Logan Avenue for the Carl at the Riverfront project, city officials have to reclassify roadways. The Danville Area Transportation Study Policy Committee on Thursday, via teleconference, approved functional classification changes for Logan Avenue from near North Street to Main Street, from a minor arterial road to a local road, and Madison Street between Logan Avenue and Gilbert Street from a local road to a minor arterial road. Vacated streets are Logan Avenue from Harrison Street to south of Lafayette Street, New York Avenue from Madison to Harrison Streets, Robinson Street from Madison Street to North Street, and Harrison and Lafayette Streets from Logan Avenue to Robinson Street. Carle Health is planning a four-story medical office building with approximately 91,750 gross square feet of clinical space and 45,179 gross square feet of non-clinical space for about 136,943 square feet in total, west of Danville's downtown area and west of Gilbert Street, in an area bordered by North Logan, West Madison, Robinson, and Lafayette Streets. Project cost is about $65 million. Consideration of the project by the Illinois Health Facilities and Services Review Board has been tentatively set for its March 16th board meeting. Written comments on the project can be submitted by February 24th to the Illinois Health Facilities and Services Review Board, 525 West Jefferson Street, 2nd floor, Springfield, Illinois, 62761. An online report of the board's findings will be available at www.hfsrb.illinois.gov on March 2nd. The public can submit written responses in support or in opposition to the findings until 9 a.m. March 8th. Carle's request to relocate its existing ambulatory surgery treatment center at 2300 North Vermilion Street, with Carle Surgery Center in Danville being part of the project off Logan Avenue, is expected to be heard by the State Board at its June 15th meeting. That portion of the project is estimated at $12 million. The replacement ASTC in a medical office building with physician offices will consist of 13,842 gross square feet of clinical space and 3,635 gross square feet of non-clinical space for a total of 17,477 gross square feet of space. It will contain 4 Stage 1 recovery rooms and 6 Stage 2 recovery rooms and the same number of operating rooms and procedure rooms as the existing ASTC, 2 operating rooms and 1 procedure room, according to the application. Land acquisition was estimated at $1.9 million. A public hearing on the Surgery Center application has been requested, with a date and location not yet scheduled. Carle Health Development owns the project site. Site ownership will be transferred to the Carle Foundation. Anticipated discontinuation of Carle's North Vermilion Street site, about 22 years old upon the new project's completion, is June of 2023. The site will be sold. For the entire new medical building, according to the application, it will also accommodate diagnostic services, as well as physician medical offices and exam rooms. The project also is consolidating services from 311 West Fairchild Street. We'll now move on to a staff report entitled, 5 More Residents Die from COVID-19, Danville. 5 more Vermilion County residents died from COVID-19. The death toll from the coronavirus pandemic reached 86 this week, as 5 more county residents were reported as victims of the disease. They include 1 woman in her 70s, 1 woman in her 50s, and 3 men in their 80s. Health officials reported the deaths Wednesday evening, Also reported were 69 new cases of COVID-19. One resident in their 80s, 11 in their 70s, 9 in their 60s, 5 in their 50s, 7 in their 40s, 13 in their 30s, 5 in their 20s, 8 teens, 6 grade school age children, 1 preschooler, 1 toddler, and 2 infants. That brings the total since the pandemic began to 6,743, 573 of which are active. There are currently 18 COVID-19 positive Vermilion County residents hospitalized. The mobile COVID testing team will return to the front parking lot of the health department on Saturday and next Tuesday and next Thursday. The health department reported on Thursday that another 100 healthcare workers had been vaccinated. That raises the number of Vermilion County healthcare workers vaccinated so far to almost 500. Starting next week, officials said the state will allow for the vaccination of individuals designated as in Group 1B, which includes police, fire, and other first responders, postal workers, teachers, and education staff, seniors age 65 or older, county and state officials, and food processing, manufacturing, and transportation workers. It is estimated that there are 31,000 Vermilion County residents who fit into Group 1B. Health officials are asking the 31,000 residents who fit into Group 1B to not call the health department to try to schedule an appointment. A state-provided program is being set up that will allow county residents to make appointments and to enter their information online. Officials hope to be able to post the link to that program to the public next week. And here's another staff report entitled, Police Capture Armed Robber as He Flees from the Scene, Danville. A Danville man found himself in jail Thursday night after an officer came upon an armed robbery. The suspect, Lamar Robinson, 28, of Danville, has been charged with armed robbery, aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, and unlawful use of a weapon. At around 8:30 p.m., a Danville police officer was on patrol when he was waved down by a female employee of the Sunshine Liquor Store in the 2000 block of East Main Street. The employee informed the officer that there was a man armed with a knife who was inside robbing the store. The officer approached the store and observed a male employee exit and attempt to close the front door. The suspect, who was still inside, then pushed the door open and exited the store armed with a knife in his hand. The officer ordered the suspect to drop the knife, and a foot pursuit began as the suspect attempted to flee. The officer and other responding officers were able to catch up to the suspect a short distance away, and he was taken into custody. It was later learned that during the robbery, the suspect had stabbed the male employee in the hip before taking an undisclosed amount of cash from the register and attempting to flee. The employee was evaluated by medical personnel and released at the scene after being treated for his non-life-threatening injury. No other injuries were reported for this incident. Robinson is also currently an IDOC parolee for a 2012 conviction for an armed robbery that occurred in Cook County. The investigation into this incident continues, and no other information is being released at this time. Anyone who has information regarding this incident is asked to call Danville Police at 217-431-2250 or Vermilion County Crime Stoppers at 217-446-TIPS. Our next article is entitled Christopher and Banks Files for Bankruptcy, Stores to Close by Jennifer Bailey, Minneapolis. Christopher and Banks Corp., a specialty women's apparel retailer, announced Thursday that it has filed voluntary petitions for relief under Chapter 11 of the Bankruptcy Code in the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the District of New Jersey. The company expects to close a significant portion, if not all, of its brick-and-mortar stores, which includes one in the Village Mall in Danville. In conjunction, the company has launched a store closing and liquidation process. Village Mall property manager Cinnamon Keith had no comment. The company, however, will continue to operate its business in the ordinary course in the near term, and the company is in active discussion with potential buyers for the sale of its e-commerce platform and related assets, and expects to file the appropriate motion shortly, according to a press release. The company has filed customary motions with the bankruptcy court that will authorize, upon bankruptcy court approval, the company's ability to maintain operations in the ordinary course of business, including, among other things, the payment of employee wages and benefits without interruption, payment of suppliers and vendors in the normal course of business, and the use of cash collateral. I will now turn to obituaries. The first is Dr. John Jr. Wittrig. Graveside services will be held on Saturday, January 16th at 1 p.m. at Ferncliff Evangelic Cemetery, Ferncliff Road, Wayland, Iowa. The Snyder and Hollenbaugh Funeral and Cremation Services of Winfield is caring for the family. A memorial has been established in John's name, and donations can also be made to the Sustainable Iowa Land Trust at https://silt.org/. Dorothy M. McFarland, 95, of Westville, passed away at 2:40 a.m. Saturday, January 9th, 2021, at Colonial Manor Nursing Home, Danville. A memorial service will be held at a later date. Martin Marty Clark Hill, 61, returned to his heavenly home on January 6th, 2021. A celebration of life will be held from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. on March 6, 2021 at Hazelwood Christian Church, 9947 County Road 0, Clayton, Indiana, USA. Georgia Louise Hawker, 87, of Oakwood, Illinois, died Thursday, January 14th in Danville, Illinois. Her family invites you to celebrate her life at her visitation on Tuesday, January 19th, 2021, from 1 to 2 p.m. at St. Paul's Catholic Church, Danville. A funeral mass will be at 2 p.m. Due to the current health conditions, masks and social distancing will be enforced. Burial will follow the mass at St. Peter and Paul Cemetery in Westville, Illinois. After the burial, the family welcomes you to come to Amy's Place, 704 Atwood Drive, Danville. Memorials may be made to the Amy Hawker Memorial Fund, 207 Payne Street, Danville, Illinois, which was established after George's granddaughter, Amy, died as a result of a horse riding accident. The fund is used to purchase and donate riding helmets for people involved in horses and showing in our area. Robert Bob J. Koch, 94, of Danville, passed away at home on January 12, 2021. A private family celebration of life was held Monday, January 18th at 10 a.m. at Trinity Lutheran Church in Danville. Pastor Kent Tibben officiated. A public graveside committal service was held at 11 a.m. at Lutheran Cemetery in Danville, with military rites being accorded by American Legion Post 210. Visitation was held on Sunday, January 17th, from 2 to 4 p.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Memorials in Robert's name may be sent to Trinity Lutheran Church, 824 East Main Street, Danville, or the Vermilion County War Museum, 307 North Vermilion Street, Danville. Jennifer Pierce Reed, 66, of North Salem, Indiana, left the bonds of this earth to be held in the arms of her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on Sunday, December 13th, 2020. A memorial service is tentatively being planned for the summer of 2021. A time and place will be announced for the memorial service after this strange virus subsides. Alfred Donald Don Story passed away peacefully with family near on January 7th, 2021, in Panama City, Florida. A private family viewing will be held in Panama City, Florida, prior to the interment of Alfred Donald Story in Sunset Memorial Park, Danville, Illinois. A memorial service in Danville will be held at a later date this coming spring when quarantine restrictions allow. In lieu of flowers, memorials to Alfred Donald Story may be made to Ridgeview Baptist Church or American Legion Post 210, both of Danville, or Fellowship Baptist Church in Panama City, Florida. Gladys Miller, 87, of Oakwood, passed away on Wednesday, January 13th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Visitation will be from 10:30 to 12:30 p.m. on Tuesday, January 19th at Danville First Church of the Nazarene, 2212 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Service will follow at 12:30 p.m. with Pastors Dave Anderson and Ken Pavlik officiating, with burial at Danville National Cemetery. IDPH guidelines will be strictly followed regarding gathering limitations, masks, and social distancing. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made in Gladys Miller's name to Danville First Church of the Nazarene. Robert E. Hatton, 70, of Westville, passed away at 8:59 a.m. on January 8th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A private celebration of life memorial service will be held at 7 p.m. on Thursday, January 21st at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street, Danville. Robbie Ketcherside will officiate. Burial will be in Danville National Cemetery with military rites accorded by American Legion Post 210, Honor Guard. A public visitation will be held on Thursday, January 21st from 5 to 7 p.m. at the funeral home. It is kindly requested that those in attendance of the visitation wear a mask and practice social distancing. Memorials may be made to the charity of the donor's choice. Carl E. Wise, 71, of Danville, died January 12th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Visitation was on January 18th, from 4 to 7 p.m. at Second Church of Christ in Danville. A funeral service will be held on Tuesday, January 19th at 10:30 a.m., also at the Second Church of Christ, located at 3350 East Voorhees Street in Danville. Pastor Dale Daniel will be officiating. He will be laid to rest at Danville National Cemetery with full military honors. Eileen Sutter passed away peacefully while her daughters were caring for her due to complications of COVID-19 on Wednesday, January 13th, 2021, at Allisonville Meadows Assisted Living in Fishers, Indiana. A private family mass of Christian burial was held on Friday, January 15th at 11 a.m. at St. Paul's Catholic Church in Danville. Father Bowen Schmidt officiated. A public chapel committal service was held at noon on Friday, January 15th at Sunset Memorial Park. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made in Eileen's memory to St. Paul's Catholic Church of Danville or the Humane Society of Danville. Huber Dale Cunningham, Hugh, age 93, passed away in his home on December 19th in Fort Myers, Florida. the family will celebrate his life in Danville this summer. James Jim Henthorne, 55, passed away Tuesday, December 15th at his home. Per his request, he will be cremated and laid to rest close to his parents in Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. There will be no visitation or funeral service per his request. He will be laid to rest in a private ceremony at a later date. And now we'll return to reading our articles, and this one is entitled Help Wanted, Diabetic Dogs and Cats Needed for Microbiome Study. College of Veterinary Medicine. Veterinarians at the University of Illinois College of Veterinary Medicine are looking for dogs and cats that have been diagnosed with diabetes to investigate a promising treatment for the disease, one that acts via the microbiome. The treatment is called fecal microbiota transplantation. And yes, that means exactly what it sounds like. The good bacteria from the poop of a healthy animal is transplanted into the gastrointestinal tract of the diabetic pet. Dr. Arnon Gall, who is boarded in the fields of small animal internal medicine and veterinary pathology, is leading the study. He recently answered questions about the study and which animals would be eligible to participate. Is diabetes a problem in pets? Diabetes mellitus is one of the most common hormonal diseases of dogs and cats, said Dr. Gall. Treatment of diabetes requires the owner to give daily injections of insulin to the diabetic pet, to switch the pet to a diabetes-friendly diet, and to make frequent visits to the veterinarian to make sure the diabetes is in control. Maintaining control of the diabetes means giving the right dose of insulin to keep the pet's glucose levels in a safe range to avoid hypoglycemia, or low levels of glucose in the blood. The time, stress, and expense of having a diabetic pet takes a toll on the owner. A recent study reported that 20% of dogs and cats were euthanized within a year of their diagnosis with diabetes due to the impact that the intensive management of diabetes has on the perceived quality of life of both the pet and the owner. Dr. Gall noted, finding a treatment that could reduce diabetic pets' dependence on insulin shots could help more of these pets live longer. What is the goal of your clinical trial, and what should owners who are interested in the trial do? Currently, it is not known whether transplanting intestinal microbiota from healthy donors to diabetic patients will reestablish good bacteria that make SCFAs decrease the bad bacteria associated with diabetes and lead to better control of blood glucose levels, said Dr. Gall. The Small Animal Internal Medicine Service at the Veterinary Teaching Hospital in Urbana is seeking diabetic dogs and cats for this clinical trial to address that unknown. Eligible dogs and cats must have a diagnosis of diabetes, and their diabetes must be under good control. The animals must be otherwise healthy, he said. If accepted into the study, all animals will be provided insulin for the duration of the study at no cost. Owners will bring their pet to the hospital several times for tests, which will be funded through the study. Study participants will be randomly assigned to receive either the fecal transplant or a saline solution. To find out whether their pet is eligible to enroll, owners should complete the brief online form at go.illinois.edu/diabeticpet. The column was provided by the University of Illinois School of Veterinary Medicine in Urbana. This has been Dee reading the Vermilion County News for January 18th. I hope you have a great day, and I look forward to reading with you again soon.